You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This thing, man, we were on such a high from playing this big show in Rochester. We all went to party back at a friend's house, and me and Cameron took a hit of acid when we got there, and we're already zonked, and we didn't realize we were drinking and partying until 10 o'clock the next morning when everyone was ready to leave.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I hope you've been having a glorious week. We did it, people. It's Friday. We made it through another week. We are well into May somehow. This year is just flying by. I am just blown away by how fast things are going, but we did it. Before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, why do I say that? You have to imagine that when people are looking for a new podcast to listen to, what do? They scroll down, they look at their reviews, they look at the ratings, and if those reviews portray something that interests them, something that they're willing to invest their time in for, well, they're going to give that podcast a chance. So you could be the person that helps sway someone to become a future Vox and Hops head, and that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, in today's episode, I'm with Devin Swank, the vocalist of Sangui Sugabob. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 263.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I'm with Devin Swank of Sangui Sugabob. How you doing, Devin? It's great to be with you.
Great to be here, man. Very excited for this one.
Excellent, excellent. I like to start off with a shitty question so we could have fun later. How did you cope with the glorious year that is now behind us of 2020?
Spent a lot of time self-deprecating and... No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, it's been a lot of fun. Even though we didn't get to tour a lot, we started writing a lot of music. It's how we, with the year kind of taken from underneath us, we were able to write and record the album that's coming out. So that's a plus side. Plus, we still get to practice and everything too, like once a week. So only thing that's removed out of my life is touring. Other than that, everything's sick.
That's awesome. And that's, you guys have been very busy. I think it's super cool. But it was a big year for you. You know, inking a deal to Century Media is huge, like huge. And then you can't tour it. You can't push this. So, but you did write a great record, which, you know, is called Tortured Hole. It came out March 26th via Century Media. And let's cheers to that right now, because I think that's so cool that you guys got signed to Century. What are you drinking on your side today, Devin?
I'm drinking Dragon's Milk, bourbon barrel aged stout.
Hell yeah.
It's 11% and it's from New Holland Brewery based out of Michigan.
Killer, killer. I have heard about Dragon's Milk. I have never had one, but I would like to have one. On my side, I am drinking L'Apothicaire. This is their Polat Mavi. I'm sure I'm massacring that beautiful Czech word. This is a dark Czech lager brewed by a metal brewery from here in just outside of Montreal in Quebec, the province of Quebec. One of the members that owns this brewery plays in Burning the Oppressor, which is a really cool Quebec-based band. I'm going to crack this, pour this out, and then we'll do a massive cheers to you getting... inking a deal to Century Media, which I think is so cool. I love that they're still signing extreme metal acts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely still have some killer bands on the roster, man, like Broken Hope. Misery Index is now on there, which is sick. Yeah, happy to be a part of the family.
Cheers.
Cheers. Killer.
Ooh. Close my eyes. I'm on tour in the Czech Republic. and not many breweries do this here in Montreal, just this classic Czech style. They don't fuck around with no hype, no haze. They don't care. They don't do pastry stouts. They make nice, clean beers, and I think that's metal of them. Let's dance into beer. Let's talk about your first beer. Do you remember the first beer you ever had, Devin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was... It was Miller High Life. It was
champagne of beer.
Yeah, that's right, man. Champagne of champagne. That's That's my go-to, which is funny. But my grandparents were drinking it, and they left their bottle unattended. And I was like 9 years old and just figured what a sip tastes like. And sure as hell, I ended up liking it. I'm drinking it now, you know, 16 years after that.
Crazy. Did you ever go down? Now you're drinking a very prestigious craft beer right now. So are you a craft beer enthusiast?
For the most part, I like what I like. I'm kind of new to the whole craft beer scene. I just bought this because I knew you were going to be drinking one too. But I'm kind of new to the game, so to speak.
What do you like about beer? What do you use beer for? What is your relationship like with beer?
I'm more so a social beer drinker than anything. And a kickback beer drinker. So if I'm watching a game on TV or if I'm out grilling or something, I usually have a beer with me, or I pour beer on the steaks that I'm grilling or something. But, or hanging out with friends, typically I don't try to go out and just say like, you know, I'm going to enjoy me a nice cold one and just be alone. Usually I have like a couple buddies with me or I'm out doing something. So it's more so a social thing.
Which I miss deeply, being up here in Montreal. The rules are very strict. They're loosening up slightly, but still, it's been a while since I've enjoyed a nice cold one with a bunch of friends, not looking at my computer screen.
For sure.
Let's talk about the soundtrack of your youth. When you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the music? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
So, my love for music was pretty early on by my grandmother, who daycared me.
That's awesome.
And she listened to a lot of Motown. And that was like the first style of music that I really gravitated towards as a kid. I was really into like Stevie Wonder, Smokey Robinson, James Brown, The Temptations really early on. My dad, I guess in a way, being blessed with teenage parents when they had me, is that our musical taste isn't too much of a stretch. You know, my dad was into bands like Obituary, Creator, Slayer, Metallica. So love for metal actually caught on pretty young, and then it started to evolve more into like the chaotic and extreme stuff when I was about like 13 or 14. Some of the friends that I grew up down the street from were a little bit older and listened to killer bands and got me hooked into it instantly.
I love that. And I love talking to somewhat younger musicians, I apologize, that had parents that grew up in the metal scene. And I'm always curious about, you know, we, as everyone in life does, we want to grow up and then rebel against our parents and try to sort of get away from what our parents exposed us to. So how did you, what bands would have been too extreme for your parents who were already into extreme music?
So, this is funny. I remember being a young kid, and I can't remember what it was for, but I was sent to my room. And I just grabbed a CD that a friend of mine left over, and it was Morbid Angel's Blessed Are the Sick. And I put it in my CD player, and I cranked it as loud as I possibly could to piss my folks off. And I never really like gave that album an honest listen before that. And I remember listening to it, and about like 40 seconds in, I was like, this is it. This is it. It set the tone from there.
It's in that emotional connection to it now too. When you go back and listen to it, are you transposed immediately back to your room that day?
Oh yeah, I'm still there.
For myself, my dad was really into rock and, you know, AC/DC, Guns N' Roses.
Nice.
So when I started dabbling into like Marilyn Manson was the one that my dad just couldn't stand. Just rubbed him the wrong way. The visual aspect of it, more than anything, I believe, was, you know, Antichrist Superstar era, when he was, you know, much more provocative and dangerous looking as opposed to strange looking. And my dad just fucking hated it. So I'm always curious to see what is that thing that pushed your parents too far?
For sure.
How about screaming? How did you get into extreme vocals?
Well, I tried taking a swing at getting lessons and stuff.
Really?
Learning an instrument. Yeah. I tried picking up the drums, and I'm just so attention deficit that I can't sit still. So I actually had these two friends growing up. They'll get a kick out of this. It's funny because these kids are actually, they have the same names as two of the members of my band, but the one's name's Cody and one's name's Cameron. And they were brothers, and they would jam all the time together. Cameron would play drums. Cody would play guitar or bass. And I remember at lunch in school, we were talking about starting a band, doing something, thought it would be cool. And they had a mic, they had a PA and everything. Their dad gave them the nines. Like their dad was dedicated that his kids were going to be rock stars. So he,
good friends to have.
Oh yeah, for sure. And one time they were jamming and I just grabbed the mic and gave it a go and I sucked terribly. And what's funny is I practicing doing that, I ended up tearing lining like in my throat. And
really, what style of harsh vocals were you going for?
I tried to. What's funny is like I was really big into Hatebreed during those days, so I tried to do like that,
like a harsh shout,
like that barking like type of sound, and my voice was just gone, and I was like, man, this sucks. So then I tried to develop a sort of technique, and I guess I learned that over the years. Trying to start multiple projects, joining multiple bands. Hell dude, I think I did. I honestly think I didn't start getting good at it or hone it down until like maybe the last year or two.
Yeah. I feel the same. It's you've been doing it for, and I think it's like, and any musician, we're never satisfied, or artists in general.
Right.
I never want to watch a live video older than the last tour I was on. You know what I mean? Because everything changes all the time.
Yeah, same here. Even when I get a compliment, I'm like, I sucked. You're unaware. You're being nice to me. You know?
Or you don't know. And so why should I trust you? But we have to, it's something that we have to learn to accept as an artist is that we're constantly in evolution and trying to better our craft. We're never finished.
Yeah. I look at it, man, as like the art of making love. You know, you just learn how to do it from watching other people.
That's true. Who would be those people that you look towards?
Oh shit. You'll like this one, man. But Lord Worm, obviously.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Frank Mullen, big time. Especially like early on when I started doing like recordings and everything. He's a big influence of mine. Corpse Grinder. I'll throw some weird ones out there too, man. Like Mike Patton.
Hell yeah. We got a lot in common. Yeah. We got a lot in common.
I'd say Matty Way too, from like the Scourge and everything. Mm-hmm.
The original toilet bowl.
That's right.
Imagine being that guy, you know, and pulling out those vocals early on, and nobody understood what the hell was going on, and him saying, "Yeah, I'm good. This is good," and it was good. But everyone else is like, "I've never heard that before. What the hell is that?"
Exactly.
Why can't you just sound like just sound like everyone else? But I love that.
He's definitely set a new standard mm-hmm. out there.
Mm-hmm. When I had a chat with Jordan from Disentomb, that he was like, "I just try to sound like Matty Way." Mm-hmm. I love it. How about your first shows? Let's go back to the first live music experience you were at.
The first concert I ever went to was when I was 3 or 4 years old. My parents took me to go see Hank Williams Jr.
Nice.
Yeah. It was at Hickory Mills. It was like a dirt horse track, and he was performing out there. It was like an open air thing. It was pretty tight. And then the first show that I ever bought a ticket for was Cannibal Corpse.
Hell yeah.
It was Cannibal Corpse and Lamb of God. And Cannibal Corpse was like a last minute add-on. And when I found out through my friends. I was like, oh, dude, I got to buy one. And it's crazy that thinking about buying a show to a, or a ticket to a death metal show at Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
all things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was crazy. And then shortly after that, Niall, played a little like country hole in the wall bar in the town that I grew up.
Wow.
So, and it was 18 and over. So luckily I had a fakie and was able to get in and see Niall.
That's super rad. Let's talk about your first time on stage.
Yeah. My first time on stage, I was playing a, I played this like biker bar.
Really? Saloon.
Yeah. And it was nothing but a bunch of like gray haired bikers. And I'm freaking out because I thought they would hate it. And the first band I went on stage with was a death metal band. And we were trying to go as hard as we possibly could. But they all seemed to like it. There was actually a little bit of a mosh pit.
Really? So, that's a win right there.
Yeah.
And I got, first like, show, first pit. I love that.
For sure, man. I ended up getting a number, a phone number from a chick too. So it was like pretty much a highlight. And I was like, cool.
I'm doing this for the rest of my life.
Yeah. You know, that popped my cherry.
Let's talk about how you're staying. You mentioned that you're still jamming a whole bunch. How are you keeping your voice in shape, getting ready to get back out on the road?
Just warming up a lot, man. And I've noticed, you know, being on tour at mid-tour form. So It's like right in the middle, all of a sudden you're not too winded, but you're just warmed up enough to where you could just pull them out instantly. And, want to stay in that frame. So dude, I'll do vocals when I'm showering. So I'll be like washing my nuts, doing gutturals and screams and all kinds of stuff. Or, if I don't have a CD, which, thankfully I bought like an older truck, so it has a CD player and a tape deck in it.
And a tape deck.
So I've been, hell yeah. So I've been jamming, a lot of Cephalic Carnage.
Hell yeah.
Lately.
Leonards of King.
And, yeah. Oh yeah. And, I'll jam that Informus, album by Origin with, James Lee on it.
Oh, I love James. I toured Canada with him once. He was so much fun.
That's tight. That's awesome. And I'll just try to do like vocal parts that I know, or if I'm at the gym or the shopping center, at a shopping center, and they're playing some weird music that I know for some reason, I'll do like a death metal take on it. So yeah, I definitely try to stay warm. And then me and our drummer and the band, we like to start off like weekend side projects where we'll write everything in one day and then we'll record everything the other day.
That's so cool.
And it's just like completely on the fly. And that kind of helps me like get my practice and everything. And so I'm pretty much practicing at least on average like 4 or 5 days out the week. Like it's a job.
You're basically in shape. So you're totally ready. Once this pandemic is over, you guys will just hit the ground running.
Oh yeah. I hope so.
Which you should, because you guys just dropped Tortured Hole via Century Media. It came out March 26th, and it's a banger. Pandemic release. Let's talk about this. You finally got the big break, the big label, and you can't tour it. How what was the mentality behind that? Did you think about holding on to the record so that you could tour it? Talk to me about this whole pandemic release.
We just kind of looked at it like, you know, we don't want to be twiddling our thumbs and... It'll be hard. It was going to be hard to write out, you know, 4 songs from our EP for another year if we had to. And, you know, we kind of realized like I'm in another band that's holding off on releasing anything because we don't have shows to promote it. And I didn't want to do that with this band. And we looked at it as like a lot of bands were kind of holding back on putting new stuff out there because they can't go out and promote it. So we figured, If we put something out that's new music for people to listen to, they'll be able to enjoy it while no one really knows what's going on and everyone's on the edge of their seat. So I mean, we even thought before we signed, because the album was done before we signed the contract, we were thinking, let's just drop it tomorrow.
Wow. You know? Okay.
We thought about it for a second, and then we were just like,
well, I'll tell you, it's like a baby. You're so excited.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like that instant gratification.
But it's like those weekend projects.
yeah, for sure. And we just figured it'd be a good time to do it now. And then when there is some more certainty, definitely support that. And maybe we'll have another record under our belt. We're writing all the time. And we plan on putting out more content with like Trauma and stuff too. So still going to be hard at work.
Super sick.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right. I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode.
How have you guys been staying in contact with your fans? I feel like since you signed this, you know, the Mega Stomp release, the EP had a bunch of, you guys had hype, you guys had attention going on. But now that it's on Century Media, it's way bigger. So how are you staying in contact with all these new fans?
We all run our social media and we're all on Facebook and everything too. So people drop a line, they'll want to shoot the shit with us, and you know, if we have time, we message them back as long as we see it. And we do that pretty actively, actually. What else I think is cool is that we all listen to new music and we try to find new music. So any band that catches our eye, we'll put it out there to our fans, like, hey, you should also listen to these guys.
I love that.
Yeah. And those guys will write us back and be like, dude, that's so insane that you like us. I'm like, hell yeah, dude, let's do a trade.
Yeah.
You know, or
yeah,
I'll give you a shirt, you give me a shirt, or tape for tape, whatever you want to do, and we'll send care packages to one another. It's awesome.
I love it. I love it. That's a you know, we are a beautiful, tight knit community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to nurture that and foster it, because we're all, you know, there's no competition out there. We're all fighting the same big, for shitty sure. music industry. So
absolutely.
Stand together, work together, and make extreme music that much more popular, because we're just growing the community together.
Yeah, that's something that resonated really well with me, man. You guys, I think it was the Book of Suffering. Didn't you guys put that out yourselves?
We have been independent since 2012. We did our self-titled independently, and then the two tomes of the Book of Suffering were independent as well.
That's right. Yeah, I remember when you said that on stage a couple of years back. I was like, that's so fucking sick.
A lot of work, but we have signed a record deal, which I can't talk about, sadly. And I've been saying that I've been saying that line for a year now. I can't wait till I can talk about that.
Oh yeah.
Something that I am interested about is, you know, you grew up, your parents were metalheads, so they're a bit more understanding. But how exactly do you explain your lyrical content to them with songs such as Dick Filet and Felching Filth?
It's weird because my dad's actually pretty funny. So you would think that he'd kind of get it, but he kind of just shakes his head a little bit. And we don't really talk about it. Like I showed him the music video and he was like, he was just completely at a loss for words. He couldn't even form a full sentence. He was just like, I don't understand all the dicks. And I was like, they're funny, dude. I was like, because they're just funny. And then my mom likes them for some weird reason. I don't know what that says about her, but My mom is my mom's pretty out there. She works at a funeral home.
Oh. So
she's probably she likes the macabre and lots of weird stuff, so I don't know. Maybe it appeals to her a little bit more than my dad.
You can't tour it, obviously, but if you could, and you know, the perfect tour, what would be that perfect tour package to put Sanguisugabob right in the perfect place in that perfect tour to promote your band in the best way possible?
Oh yeah. Damn. It'd definitely be a support tour.
Yeah.
That way we can play to a bigger crowd. But I'd say 30 days, full US, and then 30 days Europe. So technically a world tour. It's going to sound kind of like a package that you were on, but Cannibal Corpse, Obituary.
That's my favorite tour.
Cryptopsy, and Suffo.
Hell yeah. I would love that tour.
Hell yeah.
That would be wild.
How was that tour for you?
It was my best tour ever.
That's awesome.
So much fun.
I saw it in Michigan. It was killer. Abysmal Dawn's slays, man.
Yeah, yeah. I love them. I love them so much. What a good tour that was. I made countless friends on that run that I'm still friends with now. You know, Andrew Garrity, he's been on the podcast twice before. I've had him at a live interview at Thirsty Thursday, Abysmal Dawn crew, the Obituary Boys, being on a tour bus with them. That was incredible. You know, you go hanging out and like we swung through Chicago. Three Floyds came out and gave them a bunch of their hopped in half brews, a bunch of cases of other stuff, zombie dust, and they were just so generous. And Cryptopsy being Cryptopsy, we enjoyed a lot of it.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
They were very cool. And of course, Cannibal Corpse is Cannibal Corpse.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Let's talk about beer. Talking about a beer collab. If a Sanguisugabob could get a beer, what style of beer would it be and what would it be called?
It'd probably be like a blood orange, like mead.
Nice.
We've thought about this before.
Yes.
But we were thinking about calling it Turkish beer orgy or Turkish booze orgy. Yeah. And either that or like our own take on a Twisted Tea or a Cisco. You know, just some like weird, like
think something sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
That
something sweet
gets you
that'll
fucked
get
up.
You on your ass.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Let's talk about your wildest day on tour, for positive or negative. I'll let you choose that way.
I have a bunch of stories, man, that are absolutely hilarious. But this one in particular is the craziest show story that we had.
Excellent.
So the first tour that we ever played. That was like an eye opener for all of us. Was a tour that I booked, like 100% myself. Yeah. And it was with this band called Scorched from Delaware. Our buddies, Immutilatrid. And then I think you had Alex from Undeath on.
Yeah.
Undeath played that tour as well. And we played their neck of the woods in Rochester. And then a day later, we were going to play in Brooklyn, New York, and at St. Vitus, which was like a 9-hour hike.
But worth it.
Totally worth it. But this thing, man, we were on such a high from playing this big show in Rochester. We all went to party back at a friend's house. And me and Cameron took a hit of acid when we got there. And we're already zonked. And we didn't realize we were drinking and partying until 10 o'clock the next morning when everyone was ready to leave.
Holy shit. Yeah.
And our friend Daniel that was there was like, oh man, I found another hit in my wallet. And I just looked over at Cameron and was like, dude, like we need to not be drowsy. We might as well have a day where we're awake. And he's like, let's do it. So we did another hit. And we took on this drive.
You guys were not driving, though.
No, absolutely not. And we got to Brooklyn. We set everything up. And our bassist at the time checked his temperature and found out he had a fever of like 103.
Whoa.
So he left that night. And we used a like an ABY pedal. So we basically play guitar and bass at the same time. And my throat was wrecked. And this is like around November. So we were thinking, like, looking back at it, we think that we were like patient zero.
You could have
for
been.
This whole thing.
Bunch of people. I've been thinking about that a lot. That all these people that were really, really sick, you know, before we knew what COVID was. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Highly and probable.
For sure. And I, there were some vocal parts that I couldn't do without it breaking a little bit. So I had to like think on my toes, and cause my throat was hurting like crazy. I had bronchitis. And then, we played a killer show. We had like people chanting us at the end of the night.
Vitus is amazing.
Yeah. And we also had a wall of death at that show.
Yes.
So that was definitely a crazy experience for us. And that whole tour in general was definitely an eye opener. I ended up leaving the job that I was at after that tour so I can work somewhere with a little bit more freedom so I can tour and everything. Cause I was like, even if this isn't it, I'm going to risk it for the biscuit and take that chance.
Good for you.
So, thank you.
Good for you. And it's working. Look, you know, sometimes you got to be all in.
Exactly.
If you're not all in, then why would someone else go on all in on you if you're not all in?
For sure. Absolutely.
Let's wrap this up. One last question. Perfect timing with that story right there, because I'm sure you were feeling wonderful after the party until 10 a.m. What is your hangover cure?
A big, hearty breakfast, man. That always does it for me. There's a couple like local diner spots around town, so I'll either do a steak and eggs or biscuits and gravy, and that usually helps me out.
I love it. Devin, thank you so much for taking the time talking to me about your life, metal, and of course craft beer. Everyone go listen to Tortured Hole, the brand new Sangui Sugabob record that came out on Century Media Records. Devin, this was a blast. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Have a good one.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. I had a blast hanging out with Devin. What a killer vocalist this guy is. Just so extreme, so brutal. I absolutely can't wait to witness Sangui Sugabob live and get it just right in my guts. I'm so stoked about it. I'm so stoked about this band. I would love for Cryptopsy to go out on tour with them one day. Thank you, Devin. I can't wait to party until 10 a.m. with you soon. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should absolutely sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You could do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I've dropped throughout that past week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, all of the info for any cool projects that I have in the works, as well as the updated links to the live interview Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, and the links to the Brutal Awakening playlist, which is available on both Apple Music and Spotify, and is curated by my man, Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself. So please do me a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list, because I don't want you to miss a single thing. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I will be back next week with two episodes, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget, and we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.